And I want to talk to you today about why we need resurrection power. Trust me to read what the Bible says to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, and then we'll read together Romans 8, 11, and Luke 10, 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21 says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Paul says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and then a spirit of revelation as you come to know him, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened and you may know what is the hope to which he's called you and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Let me read this part again. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? According to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and then seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. If Mother was bolder today, I'd have her get up and sing the song that she wrote about this text. Amen. But she don't look like she's in the mood to give us an A selection. So we'll let her sing. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, if the spirit of him who raised, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, also through his spirit that dwells in you. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, also through his spirit that dwells in you. Amen. And Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus is speaking to the 72 who went out to do his will. And he says, see, I have given you authority, King James said power, authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. King James says, by any means. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Why we need resurrection power. Amen. So the liturgical season following Easter on the Christian calendar is called Eastertide. Will you tell your neighbor Eastertide? In the season of Eastertide, we bask in the power of the resurrection and we give thanks for what Christ's death and bodily resurrection mean for us. Easter for us is not a one-day event. Did you hear that? Easter for us is not a one-day event. Huh? Easter is a season. It's a season. One time, Sister Ravenel said, well, my birthday is this particular day, but I'm going to be celebrating for the whole month of June. So I want y'all to feel comfortable to send cards, gifts, and flowers, because hey, don't worry that you missed the date, baby, because I'm going to be celebrating this whole month. She did say it. We celebrate Easter for a season and not a day. It has such considerable weight that it should not be bypassed quickly. We should not get a dress or a suit and a tie, a bonnet and a basket, a dinner of leg of lamb, and call it a day. How many people had a little leg of lamb? Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. The old traditionalists, we had some lamb too. Amen. We shouldn't eat and be dressed up and call it a day and say Easter is done. We linger and savor the resurrection because we need it. Did you hear me? We linger and savor the resurrection because we need it. The resurrection at its foundation is about a kept promise. It's about the reliable truth of God's word and God's will. And finally, the resurrection is about power. Raw, undiluted, undeniable power. God has unlimited power that was manifested in the resurrection of Christ. The Ephesian text teaches us that God has immeasurably great power, meaning power that we can't quantify. There's no way for us to comprehend the depth and the breadth of the power of God, but we see that power at work in the resurrection. God used this power to raise the crucified Christ from the dead on the third day. It was the same power that glorified the already risen Christ by seating him in his rightful position at the right hand of God, which is the place of divine favor. Are you with me? Let me see your hand if you're going to try and stay awake today. If you're going to try, if you're going to do your best. My cousin Mabel was still. You got your hand up there, cousin? Okay. All right. Christ, who walked the earth, healed many sick people, fed many hungry people, forgave sinners, and paid the price to redeem humankind for all time, did the work of a carpenter for about 20 years, and then he did the work of a savior, and he gave himself over to be crucified at the hands of the men for whom he was sacrificing his life. He completed his assignment, and now he is seated in heavenly places. The scripture said he's situated far above every order of authority, human or superhuman. And in addition, he's received a name that is unparalleled in significance, in authority, and in power. Stay with me. Tell your neighbor, power. The Greek word dunamis. It's a spiritually dynamic living form. And the Greek word dunamis is the word from which we get the English word dynamite. Huh? Okay. So Paul adds three additional words that describe God's power. One, energeian, meaning energetic power. Kratos, meaning the power that overcomes resistance, which is what I want to talk to you about today. Kratos, the power that overcomes resistance. And ishoye, the strength which God provides. So Paul mentions three manifestations of God's power later in the text, which are: one, God showed his power by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand. God showed his power by placing all things under Christ's feet. And God showed his power by appointing Christ as the head of the church. So, friends, it was the power of God that raised and exalted Jesus Christ. God has unlimited power. Tell your neighbor, God has unlimited power. Tell your neighbor, that means my circumstance is not too hard for my powerful God. Tell your neighbor, he can handle it. Tell your neighbor, he got this. Okay, okay. God's unlimited power was operational in the life of Christ. And that power, all power now belongs to Jesus. Christ's body was raised from the dead by the power of God. He was called the first fruits of them that slept, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And he was raised first from the dead, just like the first sheath of grain comes forth from the earth, and it is a model of the grain that's going to grow after it. Christ, who was raised from the dead, is a model of what is going to happen for those of us who believe. Friends, we have this steadfast hope. We don't believe that when we say goodbye to somebody we love, it's the last time we are going to see them. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and we are Christians because we believe that the resurrection was real and true, and the same God who raised Jesus is going to raise us up. I went to the hospital room. Man, on the day that Sister Campbell went to sleep and kissed her face, and I said to myself, thank God I'm going to see her again. Thank God this is not it. I didn't get to say all I wanted to say, but I'm thankful to God for my faith in God's word. It's no point in you squeezing into your stockings and shoes, pouring yourself into your pants and your shoes and socks, if you're not going to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and that God will raise us again in the last day. This is the point of Christianity. That God has enough power to raise what is dead back to life. Somebody in here would tell you that they thought their circumstance was done. Yeah, but the Lord brought it back. They thought they were quit, they were over, they were finished. But come on, Sister Linda, but God brought it back. He is the resurrection. Glory to God and the life. God's power was manifested in Christ. And Christ gave his power to his disciples. Sometime after Jesus sent out his 12 hand-picked disciples, he expanded his training to include 70 other close followers of his whose names didn't get recorded in the text. These men and women who made up this group were able to multiply Jesus' ministry in Judah and in Judea. They were his front runners. They went ahead of him, announcing that he was coming, and not just making an announcement, having power and authority, which got people's attention. Anybody can preach and talk about a revival, but when you can heal me on the way to the revival, now I'm going to go to your revival and see what's going on. When my baby gets well in the street, now I'm going to come and hear about the one who you're talking about. These 72 were nervous. 70 were nervous when Jesus first sent them. They were like, what's going to happen? What if people don't like us? What if they won't let us in their house? Jesus said, if they won't let you in, shake the what? Dust from your feet and keep it moving, but go and preach my word. And Jesus breathed on them. He blew on them. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And in so doing, he gave them power. He conveyed his essence to them. He shared his authority with them. He gave them a portion of what was resident in him. Do you understand? God, through his power, raised Jesus. And Jesus transmitted, conveyed power to believers. Listen, he speaks to his disciples. He said, now I want you to tarry, to wait together until I endow you with power from on high. They waited, and we're not at Pentecost yet, but we remember when the disciples were praying all with one accord in one place. They suddenly heard a sound like the sound we heard last night about 1 a.m, the sound of a rushing mighty wind coming through the place. It filled all the house where they were, and cloven tongues like tongues of fire appeared above their heads, and as they began to open up their mouth and speak Aramaic, different kind of languages came forth from their mouth. Languages they didn't study in school, languages they didn't learn, languages they had never even heard. They began to speak languages they weren't taught and glorify God as a sign of the power of God that was at work in them. Peter rose up and began to preach and told the people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. God gave power to Jesus. Jesus passes it on to you. Now stay with me, because I want to talk about why we need resurrection power. power. These 70 whom Jesus sent out, he said, don't worry, because I'm giving you power. And the disciples in this text that we read came back to him and they said, Lord, we never saw this before. We came up on folk who had all kind of circumstances and we had so much authority, even demons were subject to us. When we saw somebody grievously vexed, we said, come out! And out it came. We had never seen it before. We saw people sick. We laid our hands on them and they recovered. This thing works. They were shocked and surprised and greatly delighted because Jesus had invested in them power. Now friends, this is the transmission. This is the step. This is the passing on that we miss in the church. We believe God has power. We believe Jesus has power. But where we stumble and fall is in the fact that power has been given unto us. Luke 10:19 says, behold, look, see, pay attention. I give unto you power. What's that? Not a little courage, not a boost of energy, not a protein shake, power! Not bigger biceps, power! Not a louder voice, power! Not just the ability to get on people's nerves, I give you power! Power is what Jesus said he gave to us. He didn't just give it to the preacher. He didn't just give it to the deacon. He just didn't give it to the pope. He didn't just give it to the bishop. Behold, I give unto you believers power. You know what that means? That means I shouldn't have to wait till I get to church on Sunday for the prayer team to lay hands on me and agree. What that means is that I ought to be able to sit next to the believer on the bus. And Sister Mary McKinney ought to be able to put her brown sanctified hand in mine and pray the thing that's on me off of me. That means that I should be fortunate to sit next to you in the sanctuary. I don't have to see the pastor. I don't have to see the elders. I ought to be able to sit next to you on Sunday and be free from the burden that's on me. That means at your job, you're supposed to be the source of power. That means in the apartment, you ought to be the source of power. That means when the family is going bananas and knocking each other out, you ought to be the source of power. 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 Now I want you to ask your neighbor, so where's yours? Ask the person on the other side, where's yours? Where is yours? My niece is here today. Not going to point her out. She had an encounter where through tragedy and pain, the enemy attached itself to her. And she happened to be riding in a car with her sister who had Hosha. Yes. Thank God for a sister with power. My niece has power. But at that time, she was attacked. And someone with power called the attacker to task and said, let her go. Do you know those are three wonderful words? Let her go. Spoken with power. The text that we read says, Jesus says to the disciples, I give you power. Here's what you should understand. That under your feet, that around the periphery, there will be agents of harm. Now, I didn't kill every agent of harm. There are agents of harm that sting and bite and infect and introduce toxins. toxins into your body that put venom in you. All around you, there are serpents, not boa constrictors. Not vipers, not pythons, but spiritual serpents. How many people think you might be following me? How many people know you got bit before? A serpent who lays in wait, coils up and crouches down. You unwittingly walk by and, I got you! A scorpion that comes up out of the bush, out of the sand, from under a rock to bite you and infect you. I'm trying to say something to you today. We need resurrection power because life is something else. And not, and for all of us, life has serpents and scorpions, stinging factors, agents that bring harm. Serpents and scorpions. Do you hear what I'm saying? When something painful happens, disappointing, throws me off my course, messes me up, this isn't what I planned, this isn't what I deserve, this isn't what should have happened to me, this is a mess. Anybody ever been there? The disappointment of the jacked up situation can sting and bite you. Disappointment is a toxin. Now, the thing bit me and I didn't even see it. Now, I'm bitten. I'm harmed, I'm injured, and my injury opens a doorway in my life. Are you following me? Did you ever unwittingly leave the window open? And then, especially around the summertime, and then you find that what? Uninvited guests come in, don't they? And God help you if you live in the country. Away out in the suburbs, you can't even leave your fireplace chute open because you'll have squirrels, raccoons, some of everybody will be in the living room. My next door neighbor had a bat in her bedroom because she left her fireplace chute open. The point is, where there is an opening, who feels like they're following me? Uninvited guests come in. God raised Jesus through his power. God gave power, all authority to Jesus. And Jesus gave us power. Power to tread on serpents and on scorpions. And in fact, over all the power of the enemy. So a serpent will bite me. A scorpion will sting me. Say with disappointment, Sister Keisha. With loss. Now, if that thing stays untended, if the thing stays unmended and it can fester, now I say to myself, nothing good is ever going to happen to me. Everything I try, I fail. Every time it seems like I take a little step, I take two back. My life is jacked up. This is how it's always going to be for me. Now the sting is infected. How many people think you know a little bit of what I'm talking about? You ever have a cut that got infected? Ever have a bump that got infected? Ever have a wound that got infected? Now it's infected. Now it's pus-filled. Now it's inflamed. Now it's painful. And now it's putting poison through my system. Now, it's not just a little snake bite, a little scorpion bite. Now a door is open for an enemy to come in and oppress me. This is why we need resurrection power. I'm going to be done in just a minute. Because we have enemies who don't take a nap. We have enemies. Sister Dawn Jefferson, who never go on sabbatical. We have enemies in the spirit who don't sleep or slumber. We have an enemy who the Bible says is like a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy. John 10:10 said he has a threefold assignment: to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. 2 Corinthians 10 says he comes with an agenda to poison your mind, to